I've decided. I'm going back to China. The missionary service have accepted me.
Oh, Eddie. Oh, I'm so pleased.
But I've got a lot of running to do first. Jenny. Jenny, you've got to understand. I believe that God made me for a purpose. For China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. You were right. It's not just fun. To win is to honor him.
Good morning. Hey, if I've never met you, my name's Jeffrey Turner. I am our campus pastor over at the North Campus. I mean, I guess that's still my name, even if I have met you, that hadn't changed. But I am really, really excited to be here this morning. Feels like too long since I've been here. Maybe not in your mind, but definitely in mine. So I am glad that we are still in a series that we get to talk about God speaking to us. It's been a powerful few weeks, and I'm really honored to get to share in our When He Speaks series. So that clip is from a movie called Chariots of Fire. And the guy in there is a guy named Eric Little. And so Eric Little is, he was born to Scottish parents who were missionaries in China, which, let's be honest, had to be a rather odd upbringing. But that was his world. He grows up to become really, really fast, like fast enough to qualify for the Olympics that happened in the early 20s in Paris. He earns the nickname, which when you hierarchy nicknames, it is right at the top. He is the Flying Scotsman, which is an incredible nickname. It's far better than what I was called, which was the unathletic round one, okay? So Flying Scotsman, like that is a nickname. And so what we see here in this clip is that conversation between him and his sister Jenny. And what their conversation is about is that Jenny has told him that he is supposed to go back to China and be a missionary like his parents had been. And he is saying, I want to run. Now, let's be honest. Which is more spiritual to us? Right? If we're just really honest, and we're at church, so why not be honest? Which do we find is more spiritual? The conversation is, do I run in circles or be a missionary? Okay, we all do a list of godly jobs for godly people, and missionary is always at the top. And after this last season that we all had to teach our kids, it is like right underneath teachers. So it's like missionaries and then teachers, because please God, somebody teach my kids. But missionary is always at the very top. But Eric responds to his sister with this: God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. He's essentially saying, I enjoy running. I desire to run. I actually feel pleased when I run. Therefore, it is actually more godly for me to run than it would be for me to be a missionary. And we think, Eric, buddy, nobody cares about your desires. Nobody asked you, what do you desire? We said missionary or runner. Of course, we all know what is the more godly of the two things, but this should cause us pause. God made me fast. Eric says, listen, this is how I was made. This is how I was designed. God made me fast. And for some reason, he has the audacity to connect his own desires, his own passions, his own pleasure to the purpose that God had for him in his life. That honestly is the opposite of what many of us believe. This is how most of us function. Our desires are bad. I have a question for you this morning. What if this doesn't line up with Scripture? What if, because we are ignoring our desires, we actually could very well be missing the life that God has for us, the purpose that God has for us? What if these are actually meant to be guides for us to the life that God has for us? So, not many people know this, but they have now that I've said it now for the third time. I am incredibly directionally challenged. Like, people come up to me and they'll be like, north or south or east or west, and I'll shake my head, right? Because that's what a grown-up does. I'm like, yeah. And I have no clue what they're talking about. And then sometimes they'll combine two of those words together. So they'll be like northeast, and I'll be like, you combined two words, neither of which I know. Now I am super confused. Which, when I turned 16, was a struggle. Right? I started to drive, and you actually need to know where you're going. But I grew up in Lubbock. Anyone that laughs has driven in Lubbock. It is a confused person's heaven. It is the best. Lubbock is laid out in a grid. Okay, so it goes, it's numbered one ways, and then it is alphabetical the other. So you can have no idea where you go, where you're supposed to go, but you know it's off of 34th and Quaker, and as long as you can count to 34 and get to Q in the alphabet, you are gold. Then I moved here. Okay? I love our city. I absolutely love being here. When I came, I had every intention of leaving, but I love our city. But man, I get lost. When I was dating a girl when I was in high school, it was my wife. I don't know why I said a girl. That was really weird. She wasn't my wife at the time, but so I was dating who would be my wife, and I lived on the south side, and she lived on the north side. So one of the first times I was going to visit her, I wasn't comfortable yet getting on the highway because I didn't know where to exit, so I was just going to drive through town. Okay, so I got on Buffalo Gap, and I drove to the north side of town. And then all of a sudden, without me turning, I'm not on Buffalo Gap anymore. And I'm like, what happened? So I thought, I'm not going to take Buffalo Gap on the way home. I'm going to take a different road. So she lived off North 10th. So I got on Mockingbird. I drove south, I think. All of a sudden, I'm on Barrow. And I'm like, what happened to this place? I will never get anywhere. And I honestly, this is the honest to God truth, I got lost yesterday. Like really lost, had to call my wife. And there is only one reason that I get from place to place. God's gift to me, Apple Maps. If you were to look at my phone and see the stuff that I've searched, it is primarily Siri, take me to, and then fill in the blank. And it gives me an address. It takes me to my destination. See, because guides are an important tool as we are trying to get somewhere, it is really helpful to have a guide along the way. And our desires are actually meant to help guide us to our purpose. That is the reason that we have these desires. God is actually speaking to us through the desires he created in us. And listen, that final destination, that end point that the Lord would like us to have is not just making it to tomorrow. It's not just making it through coronavirus. It's not just surviving. It's not the evolution thing that just survival of the fittest. It's not just making it until we die. The life God has for us is so much greater than we often settle for. This is what Jesus said. I came they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the destination that Jesus would like us to have, an abundant life. And yet, for so many of us, we're driving from one place to another, lost as all get out. It is me trying to get somewhere without directions. And we are so hopelessly lost as we are living through our life that we're just trudging through day after day, trying to just make it to tomorrow, make it to the next paycheck, make it to the next vacation, because we are ignoring one of the primary ways that God is speaking to us through something that he created in us to help guide us to the life that he has offered us. And I want to show you. So if you will, find a Bible. We're going to be in Psalm 139 this morning, and then we're going to jump back in the Psalm. So love for you to find a Bible. If you didn't bring one, there's one around you. There's one underneath your chair, the chair in front. If you're watching online, you can click the Bible right there. If you grab one of our Bibles, we're going to be on page 522. This is, Psalm 139 is, you can't like give importance, you can't say like one scripture is more important than the other because they're all the authoritative word of God. This scripture has shaped me as much as any scripture in all the Bible. It changed the way I view myself. It changed the way that I felt like God viewed me. It has shaped so much of what I've done in ministry. I love this scripture. It says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You know what Psalm 139 says? God did this. Now, I can't blame him for a lot of what's happened on the surface. That is chips and queso's fault. David is not talking about the surface. When King David is talking about our design, he's talking all the way back to before we were toes or hands or eyes, back when we were very first conceived, which is, for the record, Psalm 139 is one of the primary reasons that we so staunchly stand for life. It is impossible to read Psalm 139 and not believe that God is moving in a child from the moment of conception. Before I was a body, you were making me. Your eyes saw my unformed body. What David is saying, that all the stuff that makes us us, not the surface characteristics, but the things that are us, our desires, our passions, the things that make us unique, the things that we're naturally good at, the things that bring us life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are wonderful. We know that full well. You are the way that you are, with the passions that you have, because God looked at you and decided you needed to be that way. It was intentional design in the hands of a perfect creator. Here's the problem. Our brains see this, and we read Psalm 139, and we're like, great! You're telling me all the desires, all the passions, everything that goes on inside of me, that is God-given. Let's go! Like, let's chase after my desires. And then we get into this place of hedonism. And it's whatever I desire, whatever brings me pleasure, whatever brings me joy, that is where I should be standing. Which is one of the ways we've interpreted the second scripture I want us to look at. So flip back to Psalm 37. If you're in one of our Bibles, it is page 466. I would argue this is the most quoted and misunderstood scripture in almost all the Bible. Says this in Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. For the vast majority of humanity, we read, delight yourself in the Lord, and we're like, okay. And he will give you the desires of your heart. And we, because we're so fascinated with the second line, the first line almost becomes obsolete. And so we go, all right, God, I've got desires. Let me tell you them. I would like to be married, but like soon, but not too soon. I want to be able to have the single life for a while and then get married exactly when I want to. I want friends, but not too many friends. Like I want the right amount of friends that I always have somebody to go to the movies or Target with, but not so many that it's a lot to keep up with. Like I want a job that pays me good, but doesn't require that much out of me in terms of like, you know, work. I want a body that when I go to the swimming pool, people are like, yeah, that guy probably works out. And that, God, these are my desires. You made me. Make it happen, Captain. Here's the problem. We've read Psalm 37:4 backwards. We say, God, here are the desires of my heart. You do those and we got a deal. You give me all the desires that I have in my heart and we are good to go. I am sold. I am in. But something has happened from that verse in Psalm 139 where he was intentionally designing and creating you with all your passions and all your desires in your mother's womb and the list of desires that we give him now. Sin. That part of us that has been uniquely designed has been corrupted by sin. And I've seen this in my own life a bunch of times. This is not going to be the most fun of stories to tell, but when I, growing up, even now to a level, I enjoy being like the life of the party. I enjoy walking in and just with my personality kind of commanding everyone to pay attention to me. Basically, I'm incredibly needy, and my wife would attest to that. I'm like, hey, love me, look at me, need me, I'm right here. But then combined with that, there is this desire to influence people. So when I was in high school, well, all throughout high school and even into adulthood, that has caused a wrestle with arrogance and pride. Something that, if we're honest, I still wrestle with at times. When I was in high school, my youth pastor was an amazing, amazing man of the Lord named Dan Stevens. He is a big part of the reason that I'm in ministry right now. He discipled me, cared for me, loved me. He's a phenomenal man. And he probably knew what he was doing when he asked me to speak one Wednesday night in youth. He's like, hey, will you teach in youth? I was like, yeah, for sure. You're telling me? You're going to give me a mic. You're going to put me in front of every one of my peers, and they're going to get in trouble if they don't listen to me. Like, I'm going to be funny. I'm going to be charming. Everyone's going to love me. I was like, sure, I will speak. So that week, I got up, I prayed, I opened my eyes, and I was met with this realization. The desires and passions to be seen and to influence was now colliding with the reality that I had not practiced. So I said the first thing that came to my mind. Man, these lights are bright. This is the honest to goodness truth. That is all I said for 3 minutes. I said some variation of, man, these lights are bright. How do you see anything when you're up here? Like, you're all disappeared. I can't see anything. And I'm profusely sweating and I'm humiliated. And finally, Dan comes up and he old yellers me, right? He just puts me out of my misery, takes me back to the pasture and like, never again, son. And I was humiliated, but that desire to be seen, that desire to influence, it did not go away. The problem was, is my desire had been corrupted. My desire had been corrupted, and now it had led me on a path that I did not need to be on. And I could tell you so many stories that have happened to me like that. I could tell you about growing up that my desire for money was great. And it wasn't a desire to provide for myself like it should be. It was a desire for cash. I started working at 14. I was roofing in Lubbock, Texas, which is, if you're curious, hot. But it paid so well. And that, to me, is the moment, the first time I had real money to myself. And from that day, I've never not worked. And it was always a struggle going, I desire money. I could tell you all throughout my life about my desire for community and for friendships leading me in a time where I was maybe in a relationship or friendship that I didn't need to be on. I could tell you time and time again, times that my desires led me on a path that I didn't need to go. And it's probably something different for you. It might be that there is a desire for you to influence, which isn't necessarily bad, but what it's turned into is a lust for power or a desire for intimacy. And what it's turned into is us taking steps that we shouldn't in sexual immorality. I could tell you about a passion for success that in your life might turn into an unhealthy desire for money or fitness, which has made yourself into an idol. We all have passions and desires that I think if we are honest, raw honest with ourselves, we can look at our life and see the times that we were driven by our passions on a path that we should not have gone on. And we allowed our life to be controlled by our desires, and it took us to an end destination that we wish we hadn't have been on. But the problem was not the passions. It was not the desires. It was the purpose behind them. Desires are great guides. They are bad, bad masters. Earlier, I told you how directionally challenged I am and how much I struggle without Apple Maps. And the only reason my Apple Maps work is if I know the final destination. Our desires weren't meant to be the determining factor of where we go. They were meant to go veer left, turn right. For some of us, it's our desires are screaming at us, turn around. But they were never meant to be the place that determined our final destination. That was Jesus proclaiming he wanted abundant life for us. God uses the passions he created in us to guide us to the purpose he has for us in our lives. He is speaking to us through our desires because he wired us with them. But he is the one who has that final destination in mind. He is the one that is determining our calling. But if we're going to hear his voice through our desires, something has to change. Something has to shift with the corrupted nature of our desires, which takes us back to our text. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the order. It is delight and then desire. When we get in trouble, when our desires have been corrupted, it goes desire, then delight. But the order the Lord set up when it comes to our desires was delight in the Lord, and then you'll get the desires of your heart. Desires got corrupted by sin, but delight redeems desire. Loving the Lord was never meant to remove all of your passions and desires away. He put those in you. But what we've done often as a church, because we've so massacred desires, is that we have tried to create little drones. Just you do this, take this step. And trust me, we don't all want to be the same. God help us if this world is full of me's. We're all going to be wound so tight. But I have something that God's called me to. You have something that God's called you to. And so often he's speaking to us through our desires to try to guide us to our purpose. But when we read that word delight in Psalm 37, we often think like, kind of like generally feel okay with. So that's what we think when we see delight in the Lord. But when you go back to the original language, it means to take pleasure in. In our good old dictionary, it says to please someone greatly. That's what it means to delight, to please someone greatly. The problem is when we read that, if we're honest, it feels abstract. It feels like hard, feels hard to make that a tangible goal. How do I delight in the Lord? Like, how do I even begin to allow the Lord, like my desire for intimacy? How in the world can that be something that delights the Lord? Or my desire for influence, how in the world could that possibly be something that is delighting the Lord? How would that even happen? Is it even possible for my desires to delight the Lord? Scripture would say yes. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. We delight in the Lord whenever we are striving to make his name great, not ours. Whenever this is our goal in every action that we take, as we go to school, as we have friendships, as we go to life group, as we go to the ball game, as we sit at our kids' ball game, as we go to work, as we are in our marriage, in every single thing, we are delighting in the Lord when our goal is his name and his renown, not ours. When we go to our job, and we strive for success, but not for success's sake alone, but because scripture tells us that when we go to our job, we're supposed to work as if working for the Lord, not for man. And then we go, guess what? When we work that way, you find success. But the goal was not success. The goal was honoring what scripture said about how we work. Or when we go to the gym and we're working out, we're not doing it so that when we go to the pool, people are like, that guy's got a rocking body. Words that have never been said about Jeffrey. But we go to the gym and we're not working out for our own sake so that people look at us or are impressed by us, but instead because scripture says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and we should treat it that way. Guess what? When we act that way, we honor the Lord. We are delighting in him because we're proclaiming his name, not ours. When you're pursuing your spouse and you're desiring intimacy in every way, guess what? A godly marriage actually gives glory to the Lord and proclaims his name and his renown, not ours. When we go to social media for entertainment, which is not super entertaining right now, but we go to social media for entertainment, and instead of us just going on there mindlessly checking out, but instead remembering that scripture gives us the opportunity to be light in a dark place and salt in a tasteless world, guess what? When we act that way, we're proclaiming his name, his renown, not ours. You fill in the blank of your life. Whenever our goal is his name and his renown, our delight is placed in him. And when that's the case, our desires are put in their proper place as guides to his purpose for our life. And then, and only then, can we begin to hear the Lord. But in that place, when our desires and our purpose intersect, when our passions and delighting in the Lord combine, that is when we see the Lord do incredible, incredible things. We begin to see the Lord move in us and through us, and we find life and not in joy, not in satisfying our desires, but in walking out our passions while fulfilling our purpose. I saw that happen in my life in almost the exact same scenario about 13 years after, well, I guess about 10 years after that first experience speaking in front of teenagers. I'd been hired on at Beltway. I was the associate youth pastor. I was standing about to share a word that I had prepared for the students. So the lights come on. They're still bright. I still didn't feel comfortable at all in front of people. Thankfully, I think I only said that, you know, once, not 56 times, but the lights were still bright. I still had to wrestle against my own arrogance, wanting to be seen and heard. But then I remembered My purpose in this situation is to share a word the Lord laid on my heart for these teenagers, and I gotta do it. And all of a sudden, something had shifted because my goal was not, hey, look at me and think I'm cool. That was never gonna happen anyway because I was not cool, but that was not my purpose. My goal was not to be seen. My goal was not for them to need to look at me. My goal was to proclaim his greatness and this word that I had for them. And the purpose was much larger than selfish ambition. And that is what happens when our passions and our desires are combined with the purpose the Lord has for us. We begin to see the Lord do incredible, incredible things. I've been really blessed to get to see that walked out by one of the amazing ladies in our church, a lady named Jen. I want to show it to you right now.
In 2003, we found out we were expecting our second child. And as soon as we found out we were expecting, my husband left for boot camp for the Air Force. So he was gone most of the pregnancy. At 20 weeks, we went in to have our gender sonogram, and a sweet life group friend went with me. And during the sonogram, the sonotech's face immediately changed, and I knew there was something wrong at that point. Our baby was diagnosed with a chromosomal abnormality that was incompatible with life. So from there, we did not know what to expect. They prepared us to have a stillborn, or for him not to survive birth, or for him to pass away shortly after birth. So in November, he was born alive. We took him home. We spent 12 wonderful days at home, sharing him with friends and family before he passed away. The grief was hard. We grieved differently. But the whole time, we prayed for God to use his life and God to redeem what we felt like had been stolen from us. We clung to those promises that God works everything for good. In 2013, though, the Lord finally opened the door, and I had an interest in photography. I'm not a professional photographer. I like taking pictures, and he opened the door for me to start doing bereavement photography. I always felt like something was missing, though, that I wasn't living my full passion and my full purpose in this. And then about 2 years ago, the Lord started challenging me to press in deeper and to really ask him what my desires were, what was my full passion. And a friend randomly mentioned a bereavement doula. And as soon as she said that, something shifted in my heart, and I knew that this is what I was supposed to be doing. I have been able to not only offer pictures and support, but I've walked families through the hardest, darkest, deepest parts of their lives, and walked families who don't know the Lord, who have no hope. I've been able to walk in there knowing the hope that we have in Jesus and just be a light for them. Don't push the desires of your heart away. The Lord needs you to use those desires. He needs, even if you feel like those desires are too hard or too small or too big, he is calling you to step out and trust that he has your heart, that he uses every experience of your life to create those desires, to mold you, to really push you into what your full potential and your full purpose is in this life and in as a part of the body. Those desires and those passions, that's your part to play. And this isn't everyone's part, but it's my part.
It's incredible. I love this isn't everyone's part, but it's my part. That's what it looks like whenever you catch hold of the purpose God has for you. It's not everyone's heart. Not everyone wants to stand up here. Not everyone wants to work in kids ministry. Not everyone wants to be a teacher. Those last two. Jeffrey. It's not everyone's part. It's my part. And when we get to that place that we delight in him, then our passions and our purpose begin to help us be guided towards that abundant life that Jesus said we could have. Not the life of sustenance, not the life of just hoping for tomorrow. No, but the life that he has for us with all of our calling, all the potential that he wants us to begin to walk in. That is what happens when we delight ourselves in the Lord. Our life becomes this walking proclamation of his greatness, his name, his renown, not our own. So what would that look like in your life? Think about your own passions, your own desires, and not the churchy ones that you feel like you should say because we're in a worship center, watching online, but like really, what are your passions and desires? Is it hunting? Could hunting possibly be something that proclaims the greatness of the Lord? This is gonna surprise you because, you know, me, I love to hunt. See, it's because the first time I remember when I sat out in a field, it was so quiet and it was so peaceful. I looked up at the stars and saw like stars. And it was so intimate with the Lord. And that is that way every single time I get the opportunity to go sit in a field and, you know, not shoot anything because I'm not a great shot. Okay, so I love hunting. I didn't say I was good at it. What about you? Is it racing cars? Is it interior design in a house? Is it art? Is it creativity? Are you good with spreadsheets and numbers? Whatever makes you tick, whatever those desires are, they were intentionally put inside of you to help guide you to our purpose. Parents, what would it look like if we did this with our kids? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What would it look like if we took this verse, combined it with Psalms 37, and we said, my goal as a parent is just two things. I want my kids to delight in the Lord, but then I want them to unlock the desires that he put inside of them. Their passions, whatever makes them tick. My little six-year-old is incredible. She is not me. What I want is her to grow into who God called her to be. The same with my 9-year-old. I want them to find if it's creativity, if it's art, if it's whatever it might be, I want them to be trained up in the way they should go by delighting in the Lord, but then walking in all that God might have for them and listening to their desires is a part of it. And the incredible thing is we now get the opportunity to wrestle with this question. Not, God, how do I run from my desires at every opportunity? But how are my desires guiding me to the purpose you have for me? So I want to give us just a couple of minutes to respond. So if you will, bow your heads. It starts with this. Psalms 37 says, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But delight always comes first. For some of us, we just got to commit. We got to decide that we want our delight in the Lord to redeem our desires. And on Thursday, when I was getting ready to preach, I felt like we actually needed to physically respond. I don't always feel that way, but I felt like there's something about us physically responding that helps actions connect to heart. So if that's you, and if you want to know what it might look like, you want to begin to delight in the Lord in every part of your life, including the desires he put in you. If that's what you want, will you raise your hand? You can put them down. For some of us, I'm talking every time I say the word desire or passion, you're like, dude, you don't know my passions. You don't know my desires. I don't. I mean, he does. And we think, there's no way God could ever redeem my desires. Try him. You look at scripture and it is full of God using faulty people. If he can redeem their desires, he can redeem yours. Some of you are going, I've spent the vast majority of my life running from my desires. I don't even know what I care about anymore. Maybe. Maybe ask the one who made you. I mean, who better to go to than the one who, when you were in your mother's womb, was shaping who you would be? Just ask him. I think for all of us, there needs to be a desire for boldness. God, I want to boldly chase after the abundant life you have for me, not for my name and renown, but for yours. Yes, Lord, walking in your ways, your name and renown are the desires of our heart. That's what I want, God. Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that wherever we are at, you are faithful to meet us. We're all in different places this morning, but you can be where we all are. So Lord, for those that just want to know what even they desire, what even they're passionate about, would you just show them? For those that want the desires of their heart redeemed through delighting in you, would you give them the grace to see the ways that they could be proclaiming your name and renown in the midst of their desires? And Lord, I just thank you that you want abundant life for us. What a crazy thought. Thank you that you came that we might have life, but not just life, but life in abundance. Thank you for your faithfulness to meet us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, so before we finish, I wanted to say something to our worship teams. I don't know who all's in here right now. I was worshiping over there in second service, and the thing I love so much about our worship teams, and it has been this way for as long as I can remember, is I always tell people what I love about our worship staff and worship every serve team member up here, is that their goal is always not to like entertain us, but their goal is to just get in the presence of the Lord. And they do it so well every single week, every one of these team members. So I want to say thank you for that. Yeah, give them a hand. That's also one of those things that y'all are all glad that God called me to do this and not that. Not be good. And I wanted to say one thing. Mason, will you stand up? This is Mason. So I talked about me in high school terrified to be in front of 100 of my peers, and you're standing in front of hundreds of not your peers. And I'm standing in both first service and second service watching you just worship. And I was so impressed because me at that age would have A, not been able to do it, but B, been so overwhelmed at everyone looking at me that it would have just been about me. And I loved getting to watch you. I don't think I've ever gotten to sit under you while you're leading worship. And you did a really, really good job. So I'm really proud of you and thankful for you, Ben. So if everyone will stand up, we're going to end service by receiving a prayer of blessing here in a second. But we're still doing prayer. We have live prayer that is available to you. We're not doing it at the front, but if you call into this number, 325-704-5171, or you can text prayer to this number. And if you do that, if you call in right now, we will have somebody that can talk to you right now. If you text in, we'll have somebody give you a shout here in the next day or so. We have a few things the Lord laid on our heart. Someone has had a major surgery and they're fearful the healing process will not bring desired results. Someone is caught in the habit of topic thinking and can't seem to break free. We saw a picture of a closed little jewelry box with a dancing ballerina. Someone feels like they are that closed box and God is opening up your dance again. A person stuck in the place of regret. A lady wearing green that's felt misunderstood and is having difficulty fitting in. Nosebleeds, ear pain, the phrase, I'm maxed out. Someone wants to have a heart to love people but struggles in that area. Someone knows God is asking them to partner with him, but they've been hesitant. They want God to explain it in every detail. And then we got the name Ron. You've been asking God for wisdom and clarity. Any of those things, anything else, we would love to pray for you. So call in or text in. If you're comfortable with it, if you put your hands out in front of you, we'd like to end service by receiving a prayer of blessing. We do it all the time, but this is a really unbelievable prayer. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you the peace that only he can give. Amen. Amen. You'll have a great week.